Oh, guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. It's Rewind, Replay, Record. My name is Brian, and I hear myself now, but whatever, I don't care, I'm moving on. Joining me today, as always, are two lovely guests. Not guests, hosts. I gotta stop saying, I mean to say guest host, but I just say guest and I stop. But hey, who's on the line?
It's me, Daniel.
And this is me, Edwin. Happy to be here on the Brian Show.
On the Brian Show, yeah. It's an honor to be a guest.
Been fighting for this my whole career to get to the Brian Show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it was Conan. Now it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with B-Rai.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did, well, just you so you know, that. B-Rai. Brian, I did want to say, yes. I had Josh Gad actually reached out to me about after this whole Back to the Future thing he was doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, to talk to me. You know, he wanted me to help host like a different trilogy, but I said no, because you know what? My friend Brian hates you, and I can't talk to you.
Oh, wow.
You know what? You really fucked up. I will tell you right now, you fucked up, man.
I mean,
it's sweet that you thought of me and everything, but, dude, it's Josh Gad. The guy has, like, 5 million subscribers to his Spotify channel.
I've never really heard of this guy, and since you've mentioned him, that's all I see is him everywhere. I'm like, oh, I can see that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not annoyed by him. I'm annoyed that you don't like him because now I remember him. I associate him with you as if you and him are one and the same.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. After that whole episode of Josh Gad with a B, I was going to reach out to you and ask, do we know anybody that knows Josh Gad? Because we have some connection, somewhat, kind of, maybe, a little, possibly, back in the day we used to. But
I don't know. Let's put it out to the two listeners. Three listeners.
Exactly. Yeah, Steph, Jason, do you know Josh Gad? please put us in contact with him. I have an idea for a sketch.
Pretty soon it's going to be the Brian and Gad Show.
Oh, my God.
Brian Gad. Wow.
I don't know, guys. He's getting the cast of the Goonies, which explains a lot. He's also getting the cast. It's just him bringing it. It doesn't matter. I don't care. It's not that I'm annoyed with him. It's just I don't understand why he is.
Wow.
Anyway, whatever. That's neither here nor there. Now I'll start getting messages from Sal and Josh Gad posts on Instagram. So looking forward to that.
That's why I did it.
Hey, you know what? He's having to survive this quarantine like everybody else is. And Josh Gad's doing it the way Josh Gad does, by doing stuff that seems to be all of a sudden popular. Anyway, how are you guys surviving?
Edwin, you go first. I usually rant too long.
Fills up time. Great.
For me, good. I suppose watched more movies, did more organizing. Yeah. I just got Mario Maker 2 for the Switch.
Woo! How are you liking that?
Oh, I'm hooked.
Nice.
I'm hooked. It's only because we just rebeat the new Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
For the Switch. And I kind of wanted to go back to the old school, the first Mario one.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever beaten it ever since we have time. Like, oh, let's do that before we get Mario Maker. I think so. We played the first Mario and then it was a little slow. And then I decided to cave in because I kept thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to get this game.
Yeah.
I'll just treat myself to this. Got it yesterday or I think 2 days ago. And having a blast with it. It's a lot of fun. I like how they incorporate the first Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario World, and New Super Mario.
Yeah.
Like I think all those three. Oh, and the 3D one. the one for the DS, which I've never played.
Yeah,
where those Mario becomes a cat or something.
He becomes a kitty. You touch a bell and he becomes a kitty. Yeah, that was a Super Mario 3D World and 3D Land that he has those stuff. Actually, they're supposed to be later this year, because this is the 35th anniversary of Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers. They're supposed to be a huge, they were supposed to announce this at E3, but that's been since canceled. But supposedly, there's going to be a whole, like, kind of a anniversary pack of, you know, do you remember on the Super Nintendo, Super Mario All-Stars, where it had Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario 3, and then Super Mario The Lost Worlds, where it collected all the Mario Brothers in one game? Do you remember that?
Actually, do not remember that.
That's back in the day, they made Super Mario All-Stars, and it collected all the Mario Brother games on one game, on one cart. Well, they're going to do a Super... It sounds like they're going to do a Super Mario Brother All-Star 2, which collects Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Galaxies. Like, Super Mario Galaxy, which was on the Wii.
You mean one... They're going to release all of those
on one package. Yeah. On the Switch. Yeah. Holy shit. And, well, that's the rumor. They're also going to be supposedly making a new Paper Mario and stuff. It's because, again, they're wanting to hype up the year of, the, you know, Super Mario Brothers. But that hasn't been officially announced. That was leaked a few weeks ago. But Nintendo hasn't said anything. And we may not know that for another couple months, because usually that stuff is announced at E3. But because of the whole COVID thing, that was canceled, and who knows when they're going to announce that, if that ever gets announced, if it was real or not. It is something that was like, yeah, they should be remastering these old games for the Switch and putting them out. Like, yesterday they announced Tony Hawk 1 and 2 is going to get remastered.
Oh, and my God.
The Xbox and PlayStation. Really? Yeah.
Wow.
And that's getting completely remastered, so it looks complete. And not only that, the most important part to any Tony Hawk game, the original songs are going to be on the game, like Gold Singer Superman and NoFX and everything. Basically, anything I listened to back in middle school and high school is going to be in the game.
Nice,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When are they going to do Battletoads? When are they going to remaster that?
No, they did announce something like 2 years ago.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah, no, there was a Battletoads. There was a trailer back in last year, so maybe this year. I'll send you the link to the trailer.
For what system?
That's the thing. It was announced for Xbox, but I don't know.
Damn it!
If they officially announced. If it's coming to all systems, it just says Battletoads for Xbox One, which would make sense because coming soon to Xbox Games Pass exclusively on Xbox One. So if you want Battletoads, it's coming soon to Xbox One exclusively.
That doesn't help me though.
Well, if you get an Xbox One X, then you have a HD, Ultra HD Blu-ray player, 4K Blu-ray player. So,
don't tell me things like that, you know.
No, I know. So anyway,
you know how awake I am.
But yeah, so if you want that, you have to get that. But Mario Brothers. But so you're enjoying them? Are you actually making any levels? Like, are you?
No, not yet. Levels, I'm going through.
You're just going through the story mode.
The story mode. Yeah, story mode, and I think it kind of just helps you a little bit to what every piece is and what they mean,
mm-hmm.
because each challenge that you play here, they kind of always tell you what you're supposed to be doing, and they always name, like, characters by their names, which I don't know every single Mario character's name, like villains.
Yeah.
There's a lot, and what each, like, piece means, so they're giving everything a name, which is nice, so when... maybe once I'm like maybe half through the game, I'll start building them.
Yeah.
But I don't have no idea like what I'm gonna make. But we'll see. I'm excited. Do you have it?
I don't have the new one. I had the old one for the Switch. Or not for the Switch, the Wii U, when it was on that. I have that original one. And I liked it just because you can just hit random, and it would just pick a level that somebody made and stuff. And that was always kind of fun because, there's just madmen on the internet that have all the time in the world, and they create these levels that are just like, what the hell is the point of this? And it's fun figuring out what the secret is to get to this, you know, to finish this level, you have to have this, or it's just a standard Mario level and stuff like that. And it just, that's actually kind of a perfect game right now to play during this time, especially just because, one, it's user content generated, and that's always fun just because there's always going to be some new level you can play if you want to play a Mario level. Or you can just, build levels to say, hey, try to beat this level to your significant other or roommate or anything like that. And you guys can, like, have tournaments or something, like, who can build the ultimate Mario level or something.
There is a level, I'm going to say spoilers right now when it comes to the game, but there's a level where toward the end, and it was like a two-player mode, so it was Mario and Luigi, and toward the end, they get some type of power thing. It was some triangle, and you were Zelda, and you had to finish the level with the boss as Zelda.
Yeah, that was one of the updates, one of the last updates where they added Zelda support, where you can actually put in support to play as Zelda and stuff.
Which I've never played, but I know the song. Oh, well, oh, very well.
Yeah.
The Zelda theme.
Yeah.
But never played it.
It's one of those things where even as a kid, I was like, this doesn't make any sense because you have to have a map, and I didn't have the map. And yeah, it's playing games, thinking about it back in the day, because there's a certain way to beat that game. You have to go in a certain order to go through the woods. And unless if you didn't have that specific issue of Nintendo Power telling you how to do it, you had no idea, or it might be hidden in the manual and stuff. I remember, Star Tropics, the manual that came with the game. If you dunked it in water, you got a map that would help you in the video game. So if you didn't know that, you wouldn't be able to beat the game. Or if you threw away the manual, you're done. You're screwed. You didn't have the internet to go to and put up, let me see what's in this. Now you do, but back in the day you didn't. Kids, you have it lucky. That's all I'm saying.
Or like, what was it? Solid Snake or whatever? The first one where you had to switch controllers from controller 1 to controller 2.
Oh, to beat to fight,
one boss.
The Phantom. Phantom.
Yeah, whatever his name. Yeah.
Mantis. It was Mantis. He read minds. So every time you moved right on the controller, he would shoot. He would shoot right. So he knew where you were going because he read what you were saying in the controller. But if you ejected it from the first player controller and put it into the second player, he wouldn't be able to read your mind, and then you'd be able to kill him immediately. Unless you didn't know that, it would just be like this.
That would be it.
Yeah, that would be it. That would be it. And that's a stupid game.
Well, you know what? Tony was telling me what, like, he used to play on the interwebs when interwebs first came about. It was like, I can't remember what it's called, but the best way I can describe it, and I'm sure I'm going to chop it up really bad. But you basically, like, type in, oh, I go 4 paces, straight, and oh, there's a wall. Okay, I go left, there's another wall. Okay, I go right 3 paces. Okay, and it's just one of those where you type it, and that's how the game went.
Yeah, that's a text-based adventure game.
Yeah,
that's how the original games were, like on computers and stuff. I remember that old Commodore 64 mom bought from one of her coworkers or something, had a Star Wars text-based adventure where it's like, you're in the corridor. Do you shoot? Shoot. You got shot. Game over. God damn it. And the only thing was, and it was just nothing but text. There was no images except for the Star Wars logo, and that was it.
Yeah, and he was telling me that, like, people would sit there and, like, make maps on paper of where all this shit was and the key and the this and the. I was like, dang, dude, that's crazy. They're still out there. This one kid, he was talking to this one guy. Oh, what was his name? And it doesn't matter. He was talking to him about it. He's like, oh, man, I got to look into that. And he found some, you know, text-based games that were still going around and everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's different sites. Internet Archives or something like that. I forgot the name of the thing, but they have Good Old Games has that where they dump all the old PC DOS games and stuff on there.
No, and then like old Donovan, he can shoot them up on Call of Duty, kill these boot dudes left and right, put him on Sonic the Hedgehog, and he didn't know how the fuck to survive to the end of the level one.
He was so confused, because I have the Sega Genesis Mini Classic, and the Sonic the Hedgehog movie came out, and I mentioned, I have the original Sonic games, and he was like, like, I want to play them now, because, you know, he's expecting also, you know, Ben Schwartz Sonic. And it's not, obviously. And I hand him the original Genesis controller, and he like was perplexed. It's like I gave him
he was just like,
how do I walk? Like, that was his first question, was like, how do I walk? And I was like, push the controller. What controller? I'm like, the arrow. And I had to like put his thumb on it, and he's like, oh, okay.
And then, I can't speak to it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Play the game.
Yeah, exactly. It was confusion all over the face.
He's like, what do these buttons do? And I go, let's see. A is to jump. B is to jump. And C is also to jump. There's really not much you can do. And he was just like, it was great.
He walked away. He was, I can't do this. He like just walked away. Because, well, to his credit, though, also, or to his benefit, playing that old Sonic game, there's a lot of input lag. Where you press right, it takes a good second for him to press right, or to go right. Whereas, like, Call of Duty, you just barely touch it moves and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
That's
there's,
true.
There's a big input lag there. Still,
different gaming format,
yeah,
exactly. Too.
Well, that, too, yeah, of course. But he just looked at the Sega Genesis controller and was just like, I don't, like... No input. What?
Does not compute.
Yeah, does he? His head. He started bleeding from the nose and ears, and
he got droopy on one side.
Yeah, he just like can't. He's like, oh no, buddy, don't think about it too hard. Give him a stroke.
Poor kid.
Poor kid. You want to watch Sonic? No.
It's like, this is how I watch Sonic. Why? Why would you do that?
This is how I play.
Does that thing have the Jurassic Park?
Nope.
Damn.
It doesn't.
Such a good game.
I've been meaning to see if they've actually hacked that yet. They were having a hard time hacking that to put different Genesis games on it. I should look into that, see if they've actually cracked and were able to do that. Because I did that for my SNES and NES and loaded those with a bunch of games. That I never play, that I should probably play.
But once you don't have it, you'll bitch about it.
Pretty
much. Wanting it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Just like,
just like everyone right now wanting to go to the fucking park. Motherfuckers, you did not go to the park to begin with.
You never went to the park.
Beach. I just need to go to the beach. Why won't they let me free?
They're taking my rights, man. They're taking my rights. I think those are my favorite.
I get, okay. I understand protesters wanting to open up stuff for wanting their jobs back. Totally understandable. But if you're on the side of the road yelling, I can't ride I can't go on a swing set. Fuck you. You didn't want to go there anyway. You never went there to begin with.
Okay, all I'm saying is that I have all this time in my hands that I throw in an hour of protesting a week. Doesn't matter what the cause is.
I am waiting for the video of like the mom or the dad with their kid going, oh, I want to take my kid to the park, but that damn Newsom won't let me. And then I want that kid to be like, you're going to take me to the park? Well, I would if the park was open, but I can't now.
What's a park?
They're not going to know what park is. It's like the Children of Men, but there's no schools, no parks.
It's just
a movie.
Right.
phone booths are coming back in a big way.
Did you actually, speaking of that, did you see the protesters in Florida where the guy was owning a gym? He owned a gym, and his protest, he wanted to show, like, yeah, I want my business to open. Why is my business not being allowed to open? But, you know, wrestling is an essential business. What's different? So they obviously had, like, helicopters up above, and a bunch of the protesters were like, hey, let's start doing push-ups and everything in, for the protests to show them that, you know, we want the gym open. Well, you know, here are a bunch of protesters wanting a gym to open, but they're doing push-ups and sit-ups and everything, and it's, like, just kind of proven you don't need your gym opened up if you can do push-ups. You know, and the guy, the owner of the gym was like, yeah, we didn't really think that through because that wasn't the point of it, but it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Welcome to the internet, bro.
Like, yeah. You mean you wanted something to say?
You'll realize that, yeah, hey, I can fight for what I believe in. To realize, hey, people are doing the same thing, opposite of you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no. Oh, shit. Well, speaking of watch, you said you were watching movies or anything. Have you watched anything new or anything that you want to discuss?
I didn't see nothing.
Anything old or anything like that?
Here, let's see. Oh, actually, this is going to be not really a shock, but I watched it's actually my second time, but I haven't seen it since I was like 8. Princess Bride for the first time, all the way through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. I watched that and Neverending Story, which I also have never seen before.
Yeah.
Have you guys
seen them? At all?
Ever.
Neverending Story, yeah. I mean, both of those, yeah, we watched as a kid and stuff. Like, Neverending Story, I watched a lot.
I can't remember Neverending Story, but I know Princess Bride.
I remember beats from Neverending Story, like, okay, the rock people, the riding of the snail, the death of the horse.
Wait, what were you just saying?
That was never.
That was what for?
That was Neverending Story. Those were moments in the movie, The Neverending Story.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why, but I didn't hear anything you just said. I'm so
holy shit. Oh, I was gonna say, did Edwin not watch Neverending Story? And he's like, maybe I watched something completely different.
No, the one with the dog.
No, that's Neverending Story.
Yeah. Atreyu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Neverending Story. Yeah.
Yeah. It's never. Okay. Died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was messed up.
Yeah, it was.
That was pretty. That was pretty sad.
Yeah, it was.
The horse. Yeah, baby, the horse. That was like, Jesus. And you know, it's funny. I kept thinking, well, if my girlfriend likes, you know, Princess Bride, she'll love Legend. Not knowing that the opening of Legend is a unicorn getting cut open, well, getting its unicorn cut off in a very, you know, dramatic way. So that didn't work out either. Fantasy is a weird genre. But anyway, watching Princess Bride, and which I thought was great and very enjoyable.
It is kind funny. I think that may be a lot of people, and I'll agree with somebody if they ever say, and I even say that might be a almost perfect movie. Like, there isn't any, I mean, obviously the music and everything says of its time and everything. But it is, I think, I think you could show that movie to anybody and people will enjoy it. The person you say, hey, watch this. They will enjoy that movie. I think it's one of those movies that universally is liked. I haven't heard anybody ever say, I don't like The Princess Bride.
I guess not. No, but it was done very well. Yeah. And it's funny how it kind of had the element of someone telling you the story. So you have, character kind of like in the Neverending Story. So that's kind of why we watched them back to back, because they were kind of similar.
Yeah.
The only difference is the ending of the Neverending Story, which does end. I didn't realize it. First of all, I didn't realize
that's one of the best. One. That's one of the best Simpsons jokes ever, is that is Lionel Hutz telling Homer that, oh, this is an open and shut case. That, just like my case to the people never, versus the never-ending story. Ending
story.
Oh, Fuck, I've missed Phil Hartman. God damn it.
What's he doing now?
Oh, bro.
I'm sorry. Crazy. I forgot.
That's R. the R. moral sorry. Of that story. Never Ending Story. You don't remember the snail riding? A Never Ending Story? Snail?
Oh! Yes.
There we go.
Yes. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's just the dog is kind of like already weirding me out. I think it looks cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a dragon, but the puppetry is kind of weird. I mean, again, it's not 80s. Saying that's that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's if it's of its time, I'm not saying it's bad because of it.
Yeah,
but the rock guy,
yeah,
looked really cool. Guy. This was a Jim Henson thing or no?
No, it's a no, German right? movie actually. Not Jim.
And Henson. And it does have that weird feeling. It does seem a little. I don't want to say labyrinth
like.
You could see like exactly. Very like Pants. Oh, or Labyrinth. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Not Pants Labyrinth, but Labyrinth. Which is another movie that she likes so much. I'm like, oh wow, you like a lot of fantasy movies. Which is not something that I kind of grew up with. For so all that genre kind of just I didn't really watch. I'm willing to watch them now. Kind of like
right.
Like what was the other one? Like Lord of the Rings, I probably wouldn't mind watching. It's been since they came out.
Yeah.
And because I've always fallen asleep, I'm willing to give it another chance.
Yep. Never Ending Story, a German dark fantasy film directed and co-written by Wolfgang Petersen.
That's right. That's another thing. I'm like, oh, Wolfgang did this. Because he did the great, what is it, that one Storm movie, Perfect Storm? And
yes.
Master Commander?
No, Master and Commander was Peter Weir. He did.
I get those two directors confused.
In the Line of Fire, Outbreak, Air Force One, The Perfect Storm, Troy. The last movie he did was Poseidon.
Yeah.
He also did his big one, Das Boot.
Oh yeah, that was huge.
That was his big. That was his big first. it wasn't his first movie, but that was huge in the submarine genre.
What did Wolfgang also do? What other
that, big no, 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 Wolf, no, well, no, Wolfgang was Das Boot.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah, right. Yeah, that was, yeah, the, never, I'm sorry, In the Line of Fire, Outbreak, Air Force One, Perfect Storm, that's
Air
all Wolfgang.
Air Force One. That's Wolfgang. What it was.
Peter yeah, Weir okay. is, Peter Weir directed, Witness with Harrison Ford, Truman Show.
Okay.
Stuff like that, yeah. And he's that's an Australian right. film director, whereas Wolfgang is a German. A German.
But yeah, other than that, no. But
he's still alive.
But
cool.
Who?
Wolfgang. Germans? I was like, I haven't. Yeah, the
German. Oh, Wolfgang. The Germans are coming. I think so.
No, yeah, he's alive. It says it here. Okay. Because I haven't heard from him in a while, so I was like, oh, I wonder what happened. Cool. So those two are the things.
He's gonna remake the Neverending Story, but this time. He'll keep to that title. He'll promise there, that title. Yeah, something.
The 15-hour movie, The Neverending Story. There's a whole section where you just watch the main character sleep the whole 8 hours. A full night's rest.
dude, the kid, like, talking, it's like, what is he doing? Oh, it must be that, you know, oh, it must be that thing that you mentioned in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard sometimes.
But I haven't seen that movie in years, ever since as a kid and stuff.
But if you have kids, these are great stories. I mean, they'll love it.
Yeah, I think. Exactly. I don't know. They might get traumatized by the horse death. If you don't really
know
a lot anymore.
Let me know how it goes, Daniel.
Yeah. Reed wanted to watch Jaws.
Yes, oh, I was going to tell you, he should watch it because he's obsessed with sharks.
He was like, this is it. He's like, he woke up, he's like, today's the day. I'm feeling good about this.
And really? So we're
like, yeah. And we're like,
nothing can go wrong.
Kim and I are like, all right, dude, we'll do it. And we're like, let's watch the trailer first. And he's like, all right. So we watched the trailer, which, my lord, the trailer is really long. It was like a 2-minute trailer, and I was like, and it was like, it looked like an original trailer, and I was like, trailers are really this fucking long back then too?
No, but I think after that
trailers were more like an event, because this is still 73. Like, after this, I think the idea of trailers was huge.
We were like a minute and some odd seconds in, and Kim's like, well, we just saw the whole movie.
I was like, well, look, that's how trailers were back in the day. They would show just little scenes where it was just like, wow, that's a whole scene there. And it's not even that. It's an important scene, too. It's like...
I was like, all right.
Well, she thought Marvel movies were bad. If they're going to spoil everything, it's like, no, you're fine.
Like, yeah. Like, we watched Jaws in 2 minutes, which was... I was like, this is like the whole movie. It's kind of crazy. But we watched the trailer, and he's all like, nah, I'm good. This ain't nothing on me. And we're like, all right, dude, let's get the pop. We got a popcorn maker. We made some popcorn. It was an event. We just fucking sat down.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Started it up, and he's watching. The first killing happens, you know, and he's like, no big thing. I saw it in the trailer. I saw the whole fucking scene in the trailer, because they had that in there too. So he's like, meh, whatever. So then it goes, and then it goes into the talking and, sheriff doing. And Reed's just kind of like zoning out a little bit, and we're like, dude, you okay? And he goes, oh. And Kim's like, there's a lot of talking, huh? And he goes, yeah. And we're like, all right. And I think we had already gone, the little boy got eaten, which didn't bother him.
Did he realize what happened?
He knew. Yeah. He knew what happened.
Boring. He was like,
And, like, I was like, man, that didn't get you, huh? I was like, all right, cool.
What about the dog? Not even the dog scene? Like, they used the same?
I don't think they put that together.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, little Tippin ain't coming back. And they're just like, because I didn't realize this until seeing, like, watching Jaws, like now. There's a lot of, like, background noise going on, and if you're not like listening to all of it, you're gonna miss a couple little things, like the dog. I'm sure people were like, see the guy throwing the stick, and then, well, that's the end of that scene. I guess they just wanted a dog and a guy in that movie, but I bet you people never caught the Tippin, where are you, Tippin, come on, boy, like, because it was in the background. And so so then it got to when the mayor was trying to rush people into the water, like telling
also
people to go to the water.
Florida governor. Yeah.
The Florida governor.
Yeah.
it was funny because Kim was like,
George, any governor right now?
Yeah.
Kim was like, because they were talking, and Reed's like, oh, this is getting boring. And I was like, Kim's like, oh, we'll just fast forward it. And I was like, no, you have to watch the movie full. And she's like, no, let's just move to the next scene. Immediately was the next scene of them getting up in the water, like getting up and walking into the water. So then the kids were like, well, wait a minute, what's going on? And I was like, everyone's afraid to go in the water because the little boy, but they caught the shark, they think, but it's not the shark, but the mayor wants money, so he's making everyone go in the water. They're like, oh, okay.
And then the mayor wants money.
Yeah. And then,
like, you don't tell him his reasoning because it's a beach town. Like, they literally say it.
Well, yeah.
He's trying to run a business, bro. Like, this could hurt.
I'm not going to repeat the mayor's yapping that he did already. I'm sorry that they didn't pay attention the first time.
This is true. This is true.
So then, like, you see the little boys doing their little thing. And they're like, oh, ha, 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 like, no big deal. And then the music, I think, started going. And Reed was like, all right. And we're like, you okay? And he goes, I don't want to watch this anymore. We're like, dude, it's okay. It was just a couple of kids. And he's like, no, that's all right. And we're like, you sure? And he goes, I'm good. And we're like, all right. And Sierra's like, well, I want to watch it. So we're like, all right, we're going to watch it with you, Sierra. So he goes out. He leaves the room, gets something from his room, and he comes back right at the moment where the shark was in the lagoon with the kids.
Yeah.
And the guy in the boat's like, hey, kids, you okay? You okay over there? And then the fucking boat tips, and you see the shark in the water, like, grab the guy. I look to my right, and Reed has his, like, ears are covered, eyes are wide open. And I was like, oh, God. So I stopped it, and I was like, we can't watch this anymore. And we're like, you okay, Reed? And he's like, oh. He was, like, terrified. He's like, I don't want to watch that. And we're like, all right, that's the end of Jaws now.
Wow. He hasn't even gotten to the good part yet. Like, you should have started there.
Yeah.
Oh my
the
God.
Movie is like two movies in one. Like one just like
it was because the music and like right. It was so crazy because like they were playing the music when the little boys were kind of going through the water or whatever. And like I think just that dread, and I told him, I said, the music is very, it's going to get you. Like I tried to explain it to them, like, hey, this is one of those movies that when that music starts playing, you're just waiting for something to happen. Like it's the anticipation's going to kill you.
And it really go ahead. Sorry.
And it got him. He was like, I'm done with this. And then he walks into this 25-foot shark, you know, in the water, grabbing this dude off a boat. And he's just like in terror. So that was the short-lived Jaws moment of our house until he wants to try it again. And we try it again.
Let me know when he does.
8 or 9.
I have a movie. Have him watch Old Boy.
Yeah, that's not gonna cause questions. wait, what?
To the ending of that one. There we
that's
go.
That guy?
The Crying Game.
Sorry, who is she?
Yeah. So yeah, we did that. That was a eventful moment.
Yeah. So, I guess since he likes, you know, sharks, I'm trying to think what other movie that's kind of like, okay, start with Free Willy.
Deep Blue Sea.
God. Oh, God.
But no, I guess it's like a shark. So here's, yeah, so there's the thing, they're like, oh, he's like, oh, I can't do Jaws. But then, like, Sierra's like, oh, why don't you try 32 or 42 below or 32 below or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
And I was like, no. And then he's like, well, Mom says maybe Meg won't be so bad. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, if
a Megalodon movie.
I was like, no. And Kim's like, it's a stupid movie. And I go, and if he can't sit through a mechanical shark. Yeah. I was like, I don't think those are going to be any better. I was like, let's just wait a little bit. Let the dude just like, you know, build up the courage to be like, all right, I'm ready to do this movie.
How about the Orca? Have him watch Orca, the knockoff of Jaws.
Oh, okay.
Not as good. And then you can follow it up with Piranha.
Oh, fair.
Not as good.
Not as good.
Ooh, Gator. That's
Gator.
It.
Gator.
Or Crawl.
Yeah. Or Crawl. Yeah. There's options there. There's options.
Well, that's the funny thing, because like Ghostbusters, the new one, he loves. Mm-hmm. But I think, Brian, I think you tried to get him to watch it, or Kim tried to get the original. They couldn't get past the library scene.
That's a scary. That is a scary. That is a fucked up scene.
Because it looks like a documentary to them.
They're
it's this historical document of like, this is real life, right? Like, this is all footage. This is all real life footage, right? Like, no, it is. I mean, it's and I you know what? I always wanted to have them watch Gremlins, but I was always kind of afraid to have him watch Gremlins because there's that Phoebe Kate scene when she's talking about how she found out when Santa Claus wasn't real, and that's I didn't want to cross that threshold with the kids. Like,
I don't think Santa they Claus would ain't. Survive.
Yeah, because that's kind of a horror. Yeah. The sequel is okay. The sequel,
you know what? Gremlins 2, I think they
is
would
better
enjoy
it because it's more Looney Tunes.
Basically. Exactly. And that's what I always wanted to watch them. Ghostbusters, I was always kind of awkward about because, you know, Dan Aykroyd gets a blowjob from a ghost. I didn't want to have to explain that to them. So I was like, I'll let you guys decide with that one.
I don't know. We took Sierra to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, and she's cracking up at the fucking
cum scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, or the Jackson Pollock painting and everything. And she was laughing really hard. And it was like, that's awkward.
That just raises so many questions.
Exactly.
She just laughs to laugh. She's like, I want to be an adult too. I'll laugh at these jokes with you.
She was like, what, 5 at the time? 6 or 5?
I don't know. When did that come out?
6 years ago this July.
Six. She was 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is there any other movies that you're like, ooh, I can't wait to show them this? Have you thought about the Indiana Jones movies?
No, that'll freak them out, too.
Yeah.
I think the older movies are going to be harder.
Yeah.
Because it looks, in their eyes, very realistic. Like,
you might have to wait till they're teens.
Like, with, it's like, it's, I don't know, with like CGI, it's like they know the difference. Like,
of course, oh, because it doesn't look real. It looks like very glossy and nice.
I don't know. They can watch Jurassic Park. I still believe Jurassic Park's like one of the best CGI.
But they used a lot of practical ones, the first one.
Yeah,
that's like true.
Jurassic World, I can say, I'm sure that doesn't seem. Well, they used less animatronics. It was more CGI on that one.
They use, you know, I think they've seen Jurassic. I don't think they've gotten. They don't get scared of Jurassic Park. They've seen it. They watched it. They're okay with it. The Indiana Jones, I think maybe Sierra will like them. I know the boys would like them, but I don't think they are capable to watch a Nazi melt to the skull. I think
it's a good life
lesson. I think they will freak out to that. And then, you know, the guy, the second one ripping the heart out of the dude and it catching on fire. The third one is just hokey. I think they can get with the third one and be okay with that. But by then, they're going to have questions. And I mean, you don't really need to watch the first two, but
eventually they'll have to watch the first one, because the first one is, I think, a modern classic.
Oh, yeah.
Best action movies ever.
Daniel, what franchises are they watching that they like?
I don't even know. They like the Marvel movies a lot. God, I can't even, like, trying to think of little movies that they're like, we have to watch this 20 times over. It's usually just the Marvel movies. That's been kind of the...
They're also fans of, like, Descent. That's the narrative Descent.
Well, yeah.
That's like the Disney Channel.
Right. Yeah.
Like, Sierra watched the second zombie... I can't remember the fucking thing called, but it's a zombie movie or whatever. And, you know, that's a little fun movie she likes to watch. But, like, there isn't, like, a... you know what? See, I mean, Sierra's watching more, like... I think she watched the Mockingbird...
movies, yeah.
The Hunger Games. Percy Jackson's. She watched the Divergent series, I believe she's watching, or she was watching.
Sure. But that's a lot of movies also that Kim watched and was like, let's watch these together.
I was just about to say, but those are movies that Kim is like, oh, what, you know, this, or these are books that she's read. And, but like, it's usually, oh, Kim's watched them and she's like, oh, I think you'll like this. And I mean, Kim doesn't go into the realm of like anime like I do with Sierra. So movies, I mean, movies isn't my thing, but you know, DBZ, man, we'll get on some DBZ and some My Hero any day of the week.
Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I'm trying to think of, I mean, the the original Frankenstein, like the black and white, came on at Mom and Dad's like freaking a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Donovan was like, he saw it start and he goes, nope, we ain't watching this. And he ran out of the room and we were laughing. We're like, well, why don't you want to watch it? He goes, it's too scary.
Isn't that crazy that still holds up to kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like
Nightmare Before Christmas, I'm sure they don't like either, right?
No, they love.
Oh my God. They love Nightmare Before Christmas. They love Nightmare Before Christmas. It's crazy how much they love that. I thought they would get scared, but no, they were like, they're like, give me some. That's usually something we watch during Halloween and throughout Christmas.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
But yeah, the original fucking Frankenstein, Donovan's like, uh-uh. Reed was even like, this looks kind of iffy to me. And I don't know if it was because it was black and white or...
Well, I mean, there's no soundtrack to it, so there's no music. So it's very still and quiet and black and white. And very,
like, it forces you to watch,
you
know, the monster, like, without cutting. So I'm like, sure it's very disturbing to them.
They never even got to the monster. I think it was literally the them digging up the very beginning where they're digging up the body.
But yeah, but no, I mean, it is very, if you don't know what's coming and you're like, okay, and you're five, you're like, let's go in that jacuzzi now. He said you were going to go to jacuzzi. We're going to watch the movie. I don't know. Anything else or anything you've been?
Oh, and the what you mentioned, the last show, B-Ray. I've caught a few episodes. Yeah, I saw the pop culture. I saw the Mary Poppins, Nightmare, Tron, and Pirates.
Nice.
Is where I got. And I enjoyed them.
Yeah, no, it's Disney Plus is actually kind of scratching that old Disney Channel itch that I grew up watching, which was a lot of making ofs and behind the scenes and stuff. Because not only did they do prop culture, they just started doing a series called Disney Gallery, and they're going behind the scenes of The Mandalorian.
Oh, like and every episode, right?
Not every episode. Well, it's every episode's a different thing. Like the first episode was a focus on the directors.
And I thought each episode followed the series.
No. So, it's the whole it's a series of a whole. So like the first episode is about the directors, and it's all the directors that did, like Taika Waititi and Deborah Chow and Dave Filoni and Bryce Dallas Howard, because she's a director now.
Do we not approve of that?
I don't know.
You don't just, like that?
No,
it's just because it's so. Is it because she's it's a woman? One of those? Yes. It is because it's one of those things that I just can't stand them.
Why is she dating Joss Gad or something? What is up with her now?
No, her father is Ron Howard.
Mind you, normally I would give you the benefit of the doubt because I'm not the biggest Ron Howard fan.
Right.
But she doesn't bother me.
No, she doesn't bother me. It's just it's weird with seeing all these other directors, and it's like, and Bryce Dallas Howard, and it's like, how did you know? And again, I liked her
because
episode.
Because her daddy is.
And there's a story that she tells on the show where she was like, yeah, I remember when I was like 5, my dad took me to Japan, and I remember sitting in his lap and falling asleep while he was out to dinner with Kurosawa and George Lucas. And like, it's just
bragging.
The most,
wow.
Like, it's, yeah, exactly. It's one of those, not bragging, but it was just, she's telling a story about how, like, she grew up and everything. It was just one of those things where it's like,
cannot really.
Oh my God. Like, and all the other what? Directors are kind of just like, Like, oh my God.
What
like,
episode did she faces. Do?
She did the third one with, on the river planet where they it's like the Terminator style.
That was a good episode.
That was a really good episode, too. I like that episode. That's the thing. But what it looks like they did, and the impression that I got, is it looks like all the directors were always around for each episode, except one was kind of the lead. We're like, okay, you direct episode 3.
Oh,
but
there
are other directors that are there kind of helping and everything, which it's an interesting thing to do with TV shows. Usually how they do TV shows is they have one director that's like, the overarching, like, hey, this episode has to look like this, this, and this, so it doesn't look too different. You know, we have to have a style that looks like this and follows that suit. So if a guest director can come in, like a Quentin Tarantino directing CSI, it's still going to look like a CSI episode, even though it says directed by Quentin Tarantino. Are you starting war games?
No.
I'm just
doing my laundry, bro.
Do
you want to play a game? So it looks like, because they show scenes of like what's his fucking name? Like, you know, for example, Taika Waititi, he's talking to Pedro Pascal, going like, okay, yeah, just enter the scene, walk this way, and it's like, that's not the episode he directed. So it looks like they all kind of were like directing everybody. Everyone was there helping, basically, it looked like. Which is, an interesting way to do that. But it is done in the old... Edwin, do you remember Party of Five, but Dinner for Five, Jon Favreau's old
of
TV
course.
Show?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that, where it's him, because he's you know, the creator of the show. He's co-created the show and that stuff. And it's just him and a round table of people. And, like, the first episode's directors, and the next episode is the legacy of Star Wars. And it's just, you know, the producers and everything, everyone's giving their opinions. It's kind of like that, where he's just sitting there and it's a conversation with people and mixed in with like behind the scenes stuff. I really am liking that. It is really, I do like that. But but prop culture as well, because it's just, again, scratching that itch of behind the scenes. And that's what Disney always used to do. Like, how did we make, you know, MGM Studios? How did we make Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and stuff like that in crop culture. There's a whole episode dedicated to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, you know, and the first episode, the Mary Poppins one, which, again, I didn't grow up watching Mary Poppins a whole lot. I've seen it because I had an older sister that liked it quite a bit. But watching the episode and the artifacts that they were talking about, you know, was very interesting, was cool. But it was the very end of that episode where he says something about, like, watching, like, he liked watching Mary Poppins because he watched it with his father. So he was, that's why he liked it. Because, oh, my father showed it to me, now I want to show it to my kids. Mm-hmm. And the last sentence of the show, he realized that this isn't, I'm not showing him, I forget how he words it, and I'm going to butcher it. Like, I'm not doing this for my dad, I'm doing that for them. Like, the way he worded it was more like, oh, he's not doing it for them, he's doing it for himself, because he wants that memory of his father, or something like that. Anyway, the way he worded it, like, kind of like, oh, wow, that actually kind of, I almost rolled tear.
That is, and you'll see,
and I'm like, whoa, and I didn't feel anything until the very end. I'm like, oh, wow, that actually got me right there.
It's something that we can all kind of experience.
Yeah, too, very sentimental. It got very Spielberg. Then the next ones are not like that, really. But a lot of them are so cool.
Well, I mean, especially with the Mary Poppins, such a classic and everything with that, like, that's the one thing that it might be my one criticism of it is that, and you see this in other episodes where you can obviously see him trying to make the person cry.
I did. I think it worked once.
It was with the Mary Poppins.
It was sentimental because it was the first time watching it. And then the next episode, new topic. Okay, what are you going to do with this one? And it doesn't fly anymore.
Yeah.
Not to say it doesn't make it interesting, but I feel like maybe the Mary Poppins should have been the last episode.
Yeah. No, because actually, you know what?
I haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah. There is the Muppet movie. They do the Muppet movie. And I'll explain.
I haven't seen it.
Well, anyway, right. But there's one where they interview the great Gonzo, which is, you know, Dave Goles, but they also interview Gonzo. And he does, I don't know if this was set up as a whole joke or something, but he basically goes like, hey, you know, Gonzo, I found these relics of costumes you wore in the movie. And he's like, oh, my God, wow. And he's like, seeing these, does these bring back any emotions or memories or anything? And it just takes a beat and he looks at his own, no, they're just clothes. Like, and it's just, it's like, was that a joke for the whole fucking show? Because each episode he's doing the shit to other people like, hey, look at this ant head from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Does that make you cry? To the original kid.
And I liked him up to that point when he tries to do it every single time and where you can tell the person's not interested in talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, I don't care, dude. I just did the clothes.
I just did the clothes, bro. Like, I don't know. Like,
but the first one worked so well because it was kind of natural. But after that,
they got that high on number one, and they're like, oh, my God, we have found a new inn. We got to do this for every single. And it's like, okay, good luck trying this with Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, because nobody fucking cares about that movie, and I doubt the actors do either. The one thing I was surprised about that show also, it shows how nobody cared about anything until they realized they could make money off of it. Because, like...
Right.
The snow globe, the centerpiece of Mary Poppins, a janitor found in the trash can, didn't know it was from Mary Poppins. It looked pretty, so I put it in my janitor's closet. The Mary Poppins coat bag was in some dude's attic in Pasadena because the guy just wanted the cash in a contest with it. Like, it just shows like how much... Like, people just threw away shit, like, whatever, we're done. Even, like, you know, Brian Henson in The Muppets says, like, that he starts asking, like, what type of props do you have from the movie? And he's like, we repurposed a lot of that stuff. Like, we made other things, and we just, okay, well, we have this, we'll repurpose it. So we don't have a lot of stuff from that, you know, because...
Makes sense, because it wasn't a thing to do.
Nostalgia didn't hit until, like, the 80s, and it's like, I want to collect this now, because that reminds me of my childhood.
I was gonna say like, why would they think, ooh,
Mary Poppins, cool. I'm gonna sell this bag. Someone's gonna want it for like $100.
Well, I can see them wanting to like, you know, preserve. Like they didn't start the archives until Walt Disney's death, and they were like, oh, you know, maybe we should start keeping this stuff just for historical purposes and like, you know, that kind of thing. You know, just keep it for ours. And that's when the Walt Disney Archives was started, and everything was from Roy Disney, Walt's brother, after he passed, to try to remember his legacy and all that. So back in the day, they just didn't think, oh, we're going to keep it. We're just going to use it. Like that Mary Pop, there's a story in the first episode of the Mary Poppins, her coat bag where she's taking everything out and everything. That was given away in a contest run by Kellogg's or something, saying like, hey, first or third prize is a movie reel.
It was actually with cash money. It was actually the bag filled with like $10,000, and the person just wanted the money. And the delivery person,
the guy who started the contest was like, all right, I guess here, and I'll keep it. Threw it in his attic, and that's where it was for like 30 years. So, I mean, they didn't really think about like holding on to this stuff and everything. They just were like, okay, we're either going to repurpose it or trash it. And yeah, I mean, which makes sense. And it wasn't until, us dorks going, I want to keep something from my childhood. And
yeah. Well, it makes sense why I would want it.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
My dad threw away everything from my childhood by accident.
Yeah, and that's why you want your X-Men toys. Yeah.
And now I want them because it was accidentally thrown away. Everything. Everything I ever liked.
I feel the same
when I was a kid. And it was all gone. It was all gone, Daniel. Then I had to start over. And that's who you see today.
Well, I mean, my dad got rid of Brian.
Well, I don't know why I'm laughing. Why did he get rid of bro?
So,
why? What's funny? What's funny?
It's something that really stings still to this day. We.
Ooh.
That's so funny.
Oh, you're such a dick.
No, listen to the story. Okay. It's so
Voltron, one of the best TV shows a kid could do. You know, lions coming together, forming one big huge robot. It was one of the hottest toys anybody could have to collect all the, you know, to have the full Voltron set and everything. And I fucking loved it. We finally hunted it down. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you know, my mom called places like, do you have the Voltron? And finally it was like, yeah, Mervyn's has it. Let's run when Mervyn sold toys. And ran out there, got it. I remember, you know, like just loving this thing because it was like huge. It was metal. Like you could take them apart and form them together and everything. Oh, God, it was beautiful. I remember wanting to look at it as I take a bath because it was just I want to see this at all times. I absolutely love this toy. And it was for my preschool was doing a toy drive. And my mom got two boxes, one box for the new toys that aren't to be given away and the box that's for toys to be given away. My mom says, hey, go pick up the box to my dad. Go pick up the box to give to the preschool for the toy drive. My dad picks up the box that was supposed to stay. So he gave away all my new toys, including Voltron, to the preschool. And for years,
He-Man as well and stuff.
It was a bunch of He-Man toys, but the most prized possession was this fucking Voltron that I had maybe for a week.
wow!
It was like,
sounds like Toy Story.
It was like 2 years.
It
was 2 years later, and Daniel's going to the same preschool at this point, and I'm sitting there, and some kids playing. I'm like, that looks like a Voltron toy. And some kid's like smashing a Voltron toy on the ground. And I'm just like, wait. And he drops it and I pick it up. And it's my goddamn Voltron toy. They gave it. So I found my Voltron toy and I can't take it now because it's now 2 years later in the preschool's property. And it just, it.
You could.
I could have. Yeah, no, I could have. But I was, you know, six at the time thinking, you know, jaywalking was a huge crime, so I'm not gonna steal this. I can't do it. And I remember telling mom, like, hey, this is my Voltron toy. This month, she's like, yeah, no. And I'm like, I'm taking it. No, you can't. So one, that's on me for blabbing. I could have just pocketed it. But two, it was only the yellow lion at that point. I needed the rest. I mean, you know, blue and green and red and black and all that. Now I don't have a Voltron.
So, you know, Edwin, you just think about little Brian running around, 4 years old, just excited.
Well, I met him in high school, so I can kind of see. I can picture it.
Picture high school Brian, but just smaller. And then, you know, his mother. All right, Brian, put your toys, the toys you don't want, in a box and the toys you do want. He's like, all right, Mom.
I didn't even do that. She did that.
And he puts them in the boxes. Followed the rules.
And life got in the way. And then life got in the way.
And Dad was like, surely he's going to want to, he doesn't want these.
These brand new shiny toys. I'll pick those up, and not the toys that are covered in dust. He loves dust. And
have you confronted your father about this?
Yeah, he called me to go to hell.
It's brought up like it's a regular thing. Like at least twice a year, it's get brought up, and Brian usually ends yelling and running or something. So
I don't run. I storm off.
I mean, though, to
Dad's
credit,
all too. It's
to Dad's credit, he just, you know, grabbed and go. He wasn't thinking much of any of it. I mean, when I was in high school, I had my whole box of all the Star Wars toys I collected from like third grade up, and I had a giant box, and he left it out, and a rainstorm came in, and just like shit ton of water just filled the whole thing. And when I found it, it was like all my, like the Falcon, the X-Wing and stuff that used to make noise, doesn't make noise anymore. And I was like, well, I guess those are bad. And I mean, at least Dad was like, he felt bad. He's like, I'm sorry I did that. I was, it's all good. And then we brought up your thing, and then we had a good laugh. So, I mean.
So you forgave your father?
I forgave my dad, yeah. Because Brian? I still have them.
And I true.
Guess who plays with them now? Donovan plays with them now. He plays with all the action figures and shit. He doesn't care. He makes his own noises.
Brian?
Yeah.
You need to forgive Dad. You need.
Fuck him. I didn't even get an apology.
You need to go to him and say, I forgive you, Dad.
Okay, fine. Just one moment. I'll be right back. Just a moment.
He's not doing it. We both.
Fuck yourself!
Oh, my.
That turned.
Really quickly. This episode just.
Hey,
like,
everybody.
Everyone's talking. Hey,
I'm back.
Maybe this whole prop culture or nostalgia is not a good thing. Maybe that's the message here.
Yeah, maybe.
I also caught up in the second season of DuckTales.
How was that? But your dad canceled the fucking cable. So you can't see the last season.
Saving money.
I paid for this. You accidentally set up a Facebook account. How do you know how to do this?
That he knows.
No, he actually. I had to deactivate a. I had to actually deactivate a Facebook account my dad accidentally set up, and he didn't know he set up. That's a whole other story. Anyway, yeah, that was nostalgia. So prop culture, check it out. It's fun.
It's sad.
Don't watch it. Watch that Mandalorian thing, whatever.
Yeah, watch the Mandalorian thing. Watch the bullshit. You see Baby Yoda. Shut the fuck up.
That's what people want.
Yeah. Yay, Baby Yoda. Where is I gonna go with that? But yeah, no, I also, you know, I've been watching actually this weekend I watched kind of went on a Harley Quinn bender. So I watched Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of the Fantabulous One Harley Quinn movie.
How was it?
Good.
How was it?
It was good, actually. It was it's not your typical, you know, CGI slugfest or something, which was kind of a nice change of pace. It was a fun movie. Rosie Perez is great. Ewan McGregor's chewing up the fucking scenery as Black Mask. Margot Robbie's just having a fucking ball. This egg sandwich in the movie looks absolutely fucking delicious, and I kind of want to make it. And they actually show you how to make it in the movie. And it looks fucking delicious. But yeah, no, it's a fun movie. It is a fun movie. I think a lot of people missed out on it, just because, you know, it came out, and then I don't know why that didn't catch on as it did. I mean, it did make money. It's not like $100 million movie, so it doesn't have to be a box office hit to make all its money back. But people can kind of considered like, oh, it's a failure. But I don't know. It was good. I think people check it out just to see, because I mean, it's not going to light the world on fire, but it's still a fun movie to watch and everything. Let me see real quick. How much did
Birds of... I heard that it didn't do so good, but I think at the time, like, wasn't it? I think the advertisement for it was kind of weird.
Yeah,
I think only Sierra watched it with Kim.
They saw it. Did they?
Yeah, so the budget itself. Not... Go ahead.
Let me ask her real quick.
Hey,
you watched that shitty Birds of Prey movie, right? Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Go to bed. It's 9:30. What'd you say? All right, 10. Love you.
Ask her if she liked it.
Does she like
it? No, she liked it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Hey, ask her what this word means. I heard a youth say it. What does it mean? No.
I heard a youth say it.
A youth. She liked the other shitty one. What's this? The other shitty one that brought this one about?
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, she really liked that.
It's 100 times better than Suicide Squad.
And that's why I wanted to watch it, because I'm like, first of all, I like Harley Quinn. I think the character is good. But the movie was kind of confusing, because I like the idea of her doing her own thing. They're not going to reference the Joker, but then that's all they do in the advertisement is...
The movie is about her moving on from the Joker.
And it's basically how
she walks around, like the whole setup of basically like the Joker has broken up with her, and all the villain, all the main bosses, she knows that, you know, she's untouchable with the Joker. But then she tells somebody, oh yeah, the Joker broke up with me, and now everybody's like, oh, she's fucking annoying, we have to kill her now. Now we can do this because she's not Joker's property anymore. So everyone starts trying to go after her. Kind of. That sounds good. Yeah, and it's a great setup. It's a fun setup, and then it just kind of ropes everyone in together for the, you know, this Birds of Prey, which was a, you know, squad that was Huntress, Black Canary, and in the comics, Oracle, who's Barbara Gordon, but now is Detective Montoya, who's Rosie Perez. And it's a fun, it's a fun movie.
But again, I thought it was going to be her movie, not all these other characters. And I think that's why I think I kind of passed on it, because it did remind me of Suicide Squad. Like, oh, I don't want them to take like 45 minutes for each of these characters.
And it doesn't. Like, you know, for example, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's Huntress, she's in the movie for maybe like 20 minutes. Like, it is.
Then why are they in it? I guess I have to watch the movie. But I was hoping it would just be her being on her own. Without anybody's help, but yet now you have all these other characters to help them out, to help her out.
In a situation, yeah. They all kind of have to help one out because of this one guy, Ewan McGregor, who's, you know, Black Mask and everything. They kind of have to team up together to stop this guy. But it's not like, but it is, it isn't really just kind of forming up until the very end of the movie, and that's it. But it is majority Harley Quinn's movie. But there are scenes where it's like, oh, you're following... you know, Black Canary, and then, but it is Harley Quinn telling the story about how this happened and everything. But again, like the budget itself was like $84 million worldwide. It made $201 million. So it made its money back and everything. And also, you know, COVID didn't really help either. That they kind of early released it on digital and everything just because of that. But right. It is a fun movie. What is better, I think, is, and I, cause right after that I watched, the first season of the Harley Quinn show, the cartoon from DC Universe, which is an original cartoon, adult cartoon on the DC Universe app, which will also be available on HBO Max when that becomes available. for.
Let's talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, because there's a couple things I've been wanting to talk about with that. But you'll be able to watch it on that. But Harley Quinn itself is actually, it is a really funny, incredibly funny show with amazing voice acting in it. Just the comedy of this show, because it's basically just, it's a goofy show, and it kind of is like, you know, again, it's the, you know, the Harley Quinn trying to break up with the Joker. And it's just, it's not afraid to show how dumb the DC universe can be at times. Like, it's very, it doesn't take itself seriously. It's really funny. Bane wants to blow up a barista because he keeps calling him Bang. And it's just Bane just like, my name is Bane. It's not Bang. God damn it, Steve. I'm going to blow you up. And it's just, it's so dumb and it's so funny and it's really good. I'll give you guys the information to watch it. That is something I really, I would recommend wholeheartedly is the Harley Quinn show, and even Birds of Prey and everything with that too. But, definitely check out Harley Quinn on DC Universe and coming soon to HBO Max.
Ooh, can we talk about that now?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
How do I get it?
You have to sign up.
Give it to me.
Like, let's talk about this. What is it?
What is it? When can I get it? Well, I'm not getting it now.
Well, it comes out March 26th or 27th.
Right.
And it's basically HBO with all of Warner Brothers movies and access to stuff like Adult Swim, Cartoon Network. Like, all their content is going to be on there. It's a new streaming service, just like Netflix, just like whatever. Disney Plus, cool. But it's Warner Brothers and HBO. And they're,
how much is it? How much is it, P-Ray?
$15 a month, and you get access to a majority of Warner Brothers movies, all HBO shows and new movies and all that, access to HBO essentially. Studio Ghibli is also going to be the home of that, or it's going to be, that's where you can find, like, you know, Spirited Away, Totoro, you know, My Neighbor Totoro, and all those classic movies from Hayao Miyazaki. I know there's a bunch of new. Did you see the trailer for the new Looney Tunes shorts?
I haven't.
I'm gonna send you a link for that because that looks really good too. It's brand new Looney Tunes shorts, nice. And they look like the old style and everything with, you know, updated. You know, it looks modern, but it's old style comedy and stuff like that. Kind of like in the vein of the Mickey Mouse shorts that Disney
right.
Very cool. But yeah, no, it's 50. That's where you're going to find Friends. If you are missing Friends from Netflix, that's where you're going to find it. They did announce that there's going to be a Friends reunion, which is not, which what it sounds like is just a reunion of all the actors talking about the show, which is less interesting, I think, personally. I would rather see something, maybe I'm not the biggest Friends fan, but if I was a Friends fan, I would probably want to see where those characters are now and not just what the actors look like now kind of thing, which it sounds like it's more of a retrospective in front of a live studio audience of them asking questions like, well, are you guys really friends in real life? Yeah, yes. Yeah, we are. I think we are, yeah.
And then they go sing that song.
Yeah.
Friends Forever.
Friends Forever.
You know it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a classic. The Zack Attack, how can you not? But yeah, no, I don't know. Like, and actually, speaking of that, recently, I don't know if you watched it, Edwin, and kind of like that, where people are like, oh my God, I want a Friends reunion. Well, you're going to get it, and it's going to be a Q&A with the cast. Boo. This past couple weeks ago, they did the Parks and Rec special, where the Parks and Rec came together, the cast of Parks and Rec came together and did a brand new episode. A Parks and Rec, and the proceeds were going to go to, it was a special presentation where they did proceeds to Feeding America for America's food banks and everything, and they raised like I think $3 million for it, which is really great. But the episode itself, it's a brand new episode. They filmed it via Zoom, and it was actually really good. It was funny. It made a lot of sense the way it was set up. It sounded. When you first hear about it, you're like, oh, this is going to be a shit show. Like, everyone's going to be on Zoom. But they integrate it to where it's like, oh, yeah, this is a Parks and Rec episode. Like, there's a reason why they're all Zooming each other. Because it takes place April 2020 when everyone's in quarantine, so they're checking in on each other and stuff like that, and like they're calling into a TV show, and then they have commercials that have like John Ralphio has a commercial, you know, Jam Orthodontics has a commercial, and it's everyone's pretty much back, and if you love Parks and Rec, definitely check it out, because it is great. I didn't realize how much I kind of missed those characters. It was just well done and funny and everything. And actually, I kind of wanted to talk about this was during this time and everything with this crazy amount of time and everything. Are there any comfort shows that you guys gravitate towards or anything during this time period that you're like, okay, not just this time period, but whenever your life is, when life is kicking you in the dick or you're not feeling that great, or vagina, is there like a show or TV or movie or something that you watch to kind of put you in a better spirit?
Captain America First Avenger.
Okay.
I don't know. It's such a good movie.
You don't have to defend it. You can talk about it.
I watch it and I go, I need to work out right now. I understand, Cap. That's all
that
I got.
The first half of that movie, I think, is really good. And then he's not Captain America anymore. It's like, oh. I want to see you do Captain America stuff and not 2 minutes of it.
That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, no, exactly. That 2 minutes was like, yeah, this is Captain America action. Hell yeah. And then after that montage.
Like, typical fucking Americans want shit now, not later.
Well, yeah, in that movie, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I went to go see. Like, oh, I'm going to see him, like, really kick butt. No, I get in the montage. But that movie has grown on me, I will say. I don't think the movie's great, by all means. I do like the character of Cap. I think he's grown on me a lot after Endgame, I think. Mm-hmm. Or no, after, I think, Winter Soldier, actually. Which I watched the other day and it still holds up.
Yeah.
It's just really excited for that Falcon show.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I think Daniel's right. I think the Marvel movies have been pretty good. Just putting on the background for comfort. I think I switch back and forth. Like my girlfriend, you know, she likes Friends and, you know, I think we did Saved by the Bell. We put it in the background and then I got obsessed because Zach fucking fat shames some girl and it was so like messed up, like, and then he dates a girl in the wheelchair and shames her too.
It was such a weird show to teach kids like, lessons where it's like, hey, we have to teach kids about the homeless, how can we do this? Well, maybe Zach wants to fuck a homeless chick.
Wants to help and then dates them afterwards. It's like, help and then I'm gonna date you again. In return, because I don't know your kind of situation, but I'm gonna date you, okay? Boom.
There's a web series called Zach Morris is Trash, and it basically takes each episode and just highlights why Zach Morris is a sociopath and how you never see these girls ever again, and he may have murdered them.
I don't think he's murdered them, but he's a dick.
Well, did you see the trailer for that? Except for... but did you see the trailer for the new show, New Saved by the Bell show?
I think it was it could have been a commercial or a teaser, and it just had like Slater talking to these two kids.
Yep.
And
that's coming to the Peacock channel, which is NBC's NBC's streaming service.
They need to let shit go.
Yeah. That also has Punky Brewster. Because everyone's been screaming for new episodes of Punky Brewster.
I've never heard that, even when Punky Brewster was a boot.
Right? Exactly. Who gives a shit? That dog's dead. Why do I want to see a new dog? Brandon's dead.
I think Punky was on Saved by the Bell.
No, she wasn't. Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Salimo.
There's an episode where, like, Screech makes that spaghetti sauce and dates this girl that's just using him for his money. Yeah, and I could have swore that's the girl.
I don't think so. Let's see.
But maybe you're right.
Let's see.
Screech Spaghetti Sauce is the episode. Don't ask me how I know it.
It's weird.
Screech Spaghetti. Spaghetti. Yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm not looking that up. I am looking it up, but not via IMDb. That's another show where Zach needs to make a profit, so I'm going to use my friends to... Let me see real quick. Screech Spaghetti Sauce Saved by the Bell. That's the title of the show, Screech of Spaghetti Sauce.
Was that right?
That was it, Screech of Spaghetti Sauce.
It was season 4, episode 3.
Yeah, season 4, episode 3, Mark Paul Foster. Yeah. That was Robin, Soleil Moon Fry. Punky Brewster, look at you, sir.
And Punky was also in Friends. I think she was also in Friends. I think Joey was dating her, and the girl kept punching him as well. So this is sad.
Katie,
so
the one. Yeah, okay.
She's everywhere. Punky is everywhere.
The episode title. The title of the episode. The one with the girl who hits Joey.
Brewster. Yeah, the girl that hits Joey. That's Punky Brewster. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I'm looking it up right now.
It is. And that's also the same girl from Screech Spaghetti Sauce. The boo. You don't remember? Remember the spaghetti sauce with Screech? Yeah. The girl that takes advantage of him? That's Punky Brewster. That's the same actress as Brewster. Joey. That's the same person. Ah, there it is. Yeah.
I was thinking of Blossom.
Blossom? No, not her.
Sorry.
Whoa.
No, not her. No, she's in that other show that I also don't watch. Right? She's in Big Bang, right?
I guess. Yeah,
Blossom.
She is.
Yeah, Blossom.
Blossom's in Big Bang.
Got it.
Okay. I just like how you were like, yeah, Punky Brewster. she's like, Punky who? There's like thousands of Punky Brewster. Oh.
She knows a lot of Punkies.
I do remember her emo goth stage. So yeah. What's your name? Punky.
Yeah. Were you watching Footloose? Nice. I've never seen Footloose. Have you guys seen that?
Nope. Nope.
Daniel, do you want to see it?
Nope.
It's about this guy that saves the town by dancing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They mentioned it in Guardians. I figured you would.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah.
No? All right.
What was I going to say? It was the, it doesn't fucking matter. I also realized, too, that another show that's slowly becoming my favorite of all time, not all time, but in the top five at least, is Community just came back, or is on Netflix now, all the episodes of Community, including the 6th season that was lost to Yahoo, when Yahoo had a streaming service. God, so many fucking streaming services.
Yeah, I remember that season.
Yeah,
it was it's a weird one.
It's not the only reason it seems weird is because it was on a Yahoo app that you had to get on through the only way I was able to watch it is through my iPad, because nobody else had a Yahoo app on Apple TV or anywhere else. So it basically made it accessible. But while rewatching it, it's actually really fun. It's actually hilarious. But I've been watching a lot of that too, is Community on Netflix and stuff, catching up with that. Which, if you haven't seen it, if you like Rick and Morty, which just came back, you'll like Community. So
I got Dean, when he gets fussy, I put on Snake Jazz on repeat and he will just fucking, he'll start fussing and I'm like, oh shit, you need some Snake Jazz. And I put that shit on and it's all and he kind of stopped and he just like listens to it. And then like I played it enough to where, and I turned it off, fucking Reed and Sierra were they're
the thing is, though, this is the stupidest fucking joke where it's just, oh, this is my jam. Yeah, it's Snake Jazz. It's just a bunch of snakes hissing. Just, it's just, oh, God, that fucking show. Did you guys watch the first episode?
I haven't. Is it on Adult Swim, right?
Yeah, it's on Adult Swim. You have to have a login for a cable provider or something, but it should be on there now. Maybe I think the first episode may be on.
I was looking for it, but I haven't seen it, so no. But I will.
It's a lot of information. I don't know. It is an episode I might have to watch again just to fully grasp. It is one of those episodes where they throw a lot of information at you, and you have to really pay attention to it.
The Snake Jazz one?
No. The new one that just came out.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. All right. All I say is tickets, please. Yeah, no, it is a lot of information. It at times it's like, are they just doing this to prove they can do it kind of thing? which is hard to explain without ruining the whole premise. So, and I don't even know if I can explain the whole premise just because there's so much information on it. But yeah, definitely check it out. I know they have 2 episodes out right now. And I think they have 3 more. And then they're done for this season. But yeah. No, so that's back and everything, Community and all that. That's what I've been, I you know, for me personally, I've been gravitating towards more like Community and Simpsons and stuff is usually my go-to, just to put it on the background and just, because I know them all, I can just hear a thing and just, I don't have to watch them, I know by heart at this point. But yeah, I think that may do it for us. Is there anything else you guys want or to say or anything like that?
Nope. Snake Jazz was the only thing I could. That was the last thing I wanted to tell you guys.
Cool. Yeah, listen to Snake Jazz. That's good. Yeah. I'll probably do that.
Yeah, you know what? That might take us out as a little bit of Snake Jazz. But yeah, so hey, guys, thank you. We did it. Finally got together and was able to record something. That was great. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming to the Brian Show. I'm Brian, and thank you for listening to Rewind Replay Record.
This is the Brian Show. It's not the Dan Edwin Show. It's the Brian Show. Do-do-do.
Yeah, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, check us out on Instagram. You're not going to do it or anything, so I don't know why I'm saying it, but I will say it anyway. So yeah, do all that stuff or don't. It's America. Do what you want, except stay inside. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry.
Go protest, I guess.
Yeah, go protest. It seems to be doing something. So thank you for listening to Rewind, Replay, Record. And yeah, stay safe. And here's some Snake Jazz for you.